Morning, God's Word comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, we're going to read from chapter 7 and then also a few verses from chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 7, we'll read the first 17 verses of this chapter and then verses 5 through 10 of chapter 8. Isaiah 7, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. In the days of Ahaz, and the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Samaria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shaar-Yashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint, because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has devised evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it." Thus says the Lord God, "It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." And now chapter 8, verse 5. "The Lord spoke to me again, 'Because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah that flow gently and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand. For God is with us." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this past week, we gathered together to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. We have come past the time of the year when we remember Reformation Day. It is a time when we set our eyes, our thoughts now, on the upcoming celebration of the birth of Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ into the world to be the Savior for His people. And as we saw this morning in our call to confession, the Old Testament and the prophets speak about the coming of Christ and what He would do. This morning we look at Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 8, and this promise of a sign and of a son who would come. This son called Emmanuel. Now I'm sure if I asked you, what does Emmanuel mean? I'm sure you could tell me Emmanuel means God with us. Perhaps if I asked the prophecy, you would know the prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. But what was the situation surrounding the giving of this sign? To whom was it given? What required the sign to be given? It's easy for us to know a little bit about what was going on back then, but what was really taking place in Judah that God would come and give this sign of Emmanuel? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. The giving of a sign, how it points forward to the coming of Christ, and what it means for us. The assurance, the comfort, and the warning that it gives to us. Well, what was going on that this sign was required? We read that Ahaz is king, and against Ahaz, two kings are coming. Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel. They were joining together to wage war against Ahaz in Jerusalem. Now, it would be bad enough if either one of these were coming, but now they are joining together. If a regime was coming from Syria, they would have to travel all that way to get to Jerusalem. They would be tired when they got there and be not so prepared to fight the battle. But Syria has now aligned itself with Israel, Judah's next door neighbor. They can come and bring all their forces and then be refreshed and be ready, and together they will go out and attack Ahaz, the king of Judah. It's no wonder they were afraid. It's no wonder that we read that they shook like the trees of the forest shake before the wind. These two great forces joined together to lay siege and to bring war against the people in Jerusalem. And the king was afraid. The king shook. The king, imagine that, children. You know, we've seen the wind blowing and the leaves and the trees themselves shake. That's what the king was like. He was afraid, shaking like leaves on trees because of these two great forces that were coming against him. And God comes and speaks a word to Ahaz. God comes and through his prophet Isaiah will come and speak a word of encouragement and a word of comfort. The Lord says to Isaiah, "Go to meet Ahaz, you and Sha'ar-Yashub, your son." Now, immediately we have to ask ourselves, why in the world does God call the prophet to take his son with him? Isaiah was the prophet. He was the one who spoke the word of the Lord. Why is he given this command to take Sha'ar-Yashub, his son, along? When I go make pastoral calls, I don't take my children with me. Why would God call Isaiah to bring his son? His son, Sha'ar-Yashub. As we have seen, names have a great significance. Names, even this morning in the baptism, significance in the name that is given. This son of the prophet had a significant name. Sha'ar-Yashub means the remnant will return, or the remnant will remain. There is hope in this boy's very name. that there will be a return, there will be a remaining, there will be those who are saved. And so not only does God send His mouthpiece, but He sends this Son along as a visible reminder that God will go with them, and there will be this remnant that will remain, this remnant that will return, Sha'ar Yeshua. And so they go, and God says, say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. God changes the picture. Ahaz was afraid. He saw these as two great powers. God says, don't be afraid of these two great powers. They're like smoldering stumps out of a fire. Maybe, kids, you've gone camping and built a fire, and you put the wood on the fire and the tinder and all of that stuff on the fire, and you light that fire, and the fire begins to blaze and grow, and it's a big, big, beautiful, hot fire. That's how Ahaz saw his oppressors. This beautiful fire. But kids, as you let that fire burn, it burns down and down and down. Eventually it's a bed of coals, and then even those coals go out, and all that's left is some smoking sticks. That's the picture God brings. Don't be afraid of Rezin. Don't be afraid of the son of Remaliah. They are simply two smoldering stumps of firebrands. Oh, they have said that they're going to come against you. But this is what I say, God says. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. The sign is required because Ahaz is afraid. And yet God comes to encourage him and to comfort him and to strengthen him. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. This is not going to happen. He says, verse 8, the head of Syria is Damascus. Damascus was the capital of Syria. That's what he's saying. The head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Rezin was the king who lived in the capital of Syria. Verse 9, the head of Ephraim is Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Ephraim. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. So there's a king who is living in the capital of Ephraim. What God is saying is, you see Syria, you see Ephraim, their capitals are only cities, and the heads of those cities are simply men. The head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin, a man. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is son of Remaliah, a man. Don't forget who I am, God says to the prophet. The head of Judah is Jerusalem. And who is the head of Jerusalem? Not Ahaz, not a man, but God said, I will place my name there. The head of Jerusalem is God himself. God comes to encourage Ahaz. God comes to strengthen Ahaz. God comes to comfort Ahaz. He's afraid of what he sees coming at him. God says, get the picture straight. You think they're so powerful, they're so mighty. They're like two smoldering branches in a fire. They are only men. I am God. That's the context in which this sign comes. And this sign is then announced to Ahaz. The Lord spoke again through Isaiah, verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. God wants to not only encourage his faith through the words he brings by his prophet, but I will give you a sign. I will give you a sign that what I am saying is true. Ask me for anything, God says. In the heights of heaven, in the depths of Sheol, I will do whatever it takes to encourage you, to strengthen you in this time. How does Ahaz respond? But Ahaz says, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Ahaz's response sounds quite pious. Oh God, I'm not going to trouble you. I'm not going to bother you. You've said your word, that's good enough for me. It sounds like a pious response. But why did Ahaz respond this way? Ahaz says, I will not ask, I will not put you to the test. In other words, God, I don't want you involved in this matter because I've already taken care of things myself. Ahaz had himself made an alliance, a human alliance. Ahaz had aligned himself with Assyria, who would be his backup plan. They would come and help stand against these other two forces. And so he says, God, I don't want you here. I don't want your sign. I don't want you part of this. I've taken care of the problem myself. Which is why the reaction is so strong through Isaiah. And Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you will weary my God also? In other words, I see through what you're saying. You think you've aligned yourself. You think you've made a good fortress against what's coming. But let me tell you this. I will give you a sign. I will be involved. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. Ahaz, you think you can solve the problem yourself? Ahaz, you think your strength can get you through this? You need Emmanuel. You need God with you to be able to withstand what's coming. He would align himself with Assyria, with men. God had said, the head of these nations are only men. The head of your nation is God himself. Yet Ahaz said, I'll do it my way. I'll take care of myself. I'll solve the problem. God, we don't want your help. God says, you need it. The sign announced, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And the prophet goes on to explain what that sign will mean for Ahaz and for the other nations. Verse 15. This son, he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. In other words, this boy is going to be born and grow up, and before he's even a man yet, the problem will be solved. These two nations are going to be deserted. There would be deliverance for the people of Israel. Judah, there would be deliverance for Jerusalem because God was with them. God would not let his people be completely destroyed, certainly not by these two nations. No, Emmanuel, God with us. These two nations are going to be destroyed. Deliverance for Jerusalem. But also a word of warning. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. The Lord is going to bring upon you the king of Assyria. That which Ahaz thought would be his salvation would turn on him. God would bring upon Jerusalem that which they thought was their Savior, Assyria. But God will turn the Assyrians against Jerusalem, against Judah. Which is why we read in chapter 8, verse 5, the Lord spoke to me again. Because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah, that's in Jerusalem, and rejoice over Rezin, son of Remaliah, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. God is going to come and use the Assyrians to now punish his people for their lack of faith in him.
It will rise over all its channels and go outside all of its banks. It will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck. And it, with its outspread wings, will fill the breadth of the land. O Emmanuel! O God with us! Not now God with us in comfort and in hope, but God with us in judgment. God comes in two ways. God comes as a blessing for His people, for all who take refuge in Him, but for those who fight against Him. O Emmanuel, God with us. The justice of God. The vengeance of God on behalf of His people. Assyria will come and sweep over you. O Emmanuel, God with us in judgment. Isaiah warns Ahaz, warns that when we reject the ways of God, when we think we can do things in our own strength, God says, I will show you who is in control. I will show you whom you need. O Emmanuel, that which you thought was going to be your salvation is now turned on you. A picture of our life. A picture of our walk every day. As we try to make ourselves right before God, to whom do we flee? Do we take refuge in the good things we have done? Do we take refuge in our parentage or in our grandparents? Do we take refuge in anything that we have set up for ourselves? If we are, God says, O Emmanuel, God is necessary. We cannot look to our own works, to our own lineage, to our social status, to our wealth, to whatever it might be, because those things will turn upon us and be judgment against us. No, the only place for hope, the only place for assurance, for comfort, is God with us. God coming to save His people. And that's how Isaiah ends this part of the prophecy. Again, from chapter 8, verse 9. Be broken, you peoples, be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor, be shattered. Strap on your armor, be shattered. God's going to destroy the nations. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, it will not stand. For God is with us. God would come and punish those who were unbelieving. He would punish Ahaz. He would punish the descendants. But He would not destroy them completely. Sha'ar Yeshuv. There would be a remnant. The waters of Assyria will come and they will overflow and pass. It will reach even up to the neck, but not over the head. There is this hope. There is this comfort. There is this blessing remaining for the remnant. For those who know Emmanuel, who know God with us, who put their hope, their assurance, their comfort, all comes from Him. That's what God did in using this picture to fulfill the prophecies and to bring Jesus Christ, the one who was God with His people. God Himself came down from heaven. God Himself came to dwell in the midst of His people. And for all who put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone, they can have the assurance that no matter what the world might bring against us, Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God fights for us. The works of our hands, the alliances we make, will come to nothing. In fact, they will turn against us. But Emmanuel, God dwells with His people. that's what we celebrate this season of the year. The coming of God Himself in flesh into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel comes to those who receive Him by faith as that comfort, as that hope, as that assurance. For those who do not, Emmanuel comes as a warning. God with us in judgment. As we enter this season of the year, where do we look for our hope? Where do we look for our strength? Where do we look for our comfort? May God remind us through His Word of His goodness, that He Himself came down for His people, for His own, and that we are called to place our faith in Him. Emmanuel, God with us, even still today. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for the beauty of Your Word. We thank You for the prophecies of Your Word. Prophecies which find their ultimate fulfillment in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Emmanuel. Lord God, may we truly bow our hearts, our knees before Him today. If we are still looking to our own strength, to our own might, to our own knowledge, to what we can do to save ourselves, may we hear the warnings of Emmanuel coming in judgment. May we flee for refuge to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God, with us. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.